Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We're going to be continuing our study today, going through the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to be jumping into chapter number 2 after spending a few weeks looking at the issues of the wrath that we are being protected from as members of the body of Christ at the end of chapter number 1. So let's read chapter 2, verse 1, which says, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain." So here we're going to see the Apostle Paul actually talking about his coming unto them, making a reference back unto the things that happened over in Acts chapter number 17 and the ministry that he had with them, as you know, giving them the dispensation of the grace of God, giving them the message that they understand. And he's going to be giving them some information about how it is that they received the things that were given unto them. And we know that they received it very well based on, you know, in this chapter, when you go down to verse number 13, which says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So we see the issue of them, you know, receiving what the Apostle Paul was teaching and how it was that they were actually receiving it as the word of God, giving them the information that they needed to have in order to be doing the things that God truly intended for them to do. And we see how when the Apostle Paul is speaking about, you know, the members of the body of Christ, that he uses terms that bring about that issue of family. We see right here again in this verse when he talks about, it says, "For yourselves, brethren." And that's a term that the Apostle Paul uses over and over again in his epistles to describe the members of the body of Christ. But you see also how he describes the body of Christ in the issues of that family type thought process. For example, we can go over to Galatians chapter number 6, where we'll see the Apostle Paul use, you know, another one of these terms here. And here in Galatians chapter number 6, we're going to read verse number 10, which says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." So here you have the Apostle Paul as he's talking about things related to the practical sanctification of the believer, talking about the things that as the dispensation of the grace of God and the message that has been given to us, as this information dwells in us, the end result is that we should be doing good unto all men. You know, it's not an issue of, you know, once we put our trust in the gospel and the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, believing in that and that alone for our salvation. Once it occurred, it's not a thing, well, we're saved and now I can just kind of kick back, lay on my couch and not have to do anything because I have my salvation. You know, yes, we do have that. And yes, we would still have our salvation, but that's not what God intends for the members of the body of Christ to do. You see how he talks about that, for example, in passages like in Ephesians chapter number 2, where he lays it out, talks about how our salvation is not of works, but then he talks about how we're created unto good works. that the responsibility that we have as the members of the body of Christ, as he says here in the passage that we're reading in Galatians chapter number 6, verse 10, let us do good unto all men. We're supposed to be doing the good things unto all men. And then he gives a qualification of, you know, while we're doing good things unto all men, it's especially true that we're doing it unto those who are of the household of faith. Those who are members of the body of Christ. While we're supposed to be doing good things unto all men, we especially need to be making sure that we're doing good things unto all of the members of the body of Christ. We should be holding the members of the body of Christ in a much higher regard, a much higher esteem than we do all of the other individuals. And we're supposed to have a care for all of the members of the body of Christ. You know, that care involves, you know, if it has to be things of, you know, their financial help or helping, you know, a member of the body of Christ with a task that they're not able to do. Whether it comes down to a thing of a member of the body of Christ visiting another local assembly for, you know, either a regular service or a conference. That the thing of making that person feel welcome because they are a member of the body of Christ, a member of the household of faith that we're supposed to be caring for. That's the responsibility that we have. We see, let's go over to Ephesians, and we're going to chapter number 2, where again we'll see the Apostle Paul using these type of terms to describe the members of the body of Christ. And here we're going to look at verse number 19, which says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." The result of our salvation is the fact that we are of the household of God. That is who we are as the members of the body of Christ today. That's why he uses these terms. You see him in chapter number 3, in verse 15, where he says, "Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Again, describing this thing of this family type term that's being described and used over and over again to describe the members of the body of Christ. Now, one of the questions that individuals will ask is, you know, why it is that, you know, when you see the Apostle Paul actually use these terms about family, that you see him using the things of, for example, brethren, and he keeps using the terms to describe the male members of the family and seems to almost be, you know, discriminating against, or feel, you know, some would say, well, he doesn't even care about the female members of the body of Christ. And that has nothing to do with why it is that the Word of God and what the Apostle Paul has written is speaking about and calling us brethren. It has all to do with who it is that dwells in us. Because the moment we put our trust in the gospel, it's the Lord Jesus Christ who is in us. And with the fact that it's Christ in us, and that's who God is seeing when he looks at us, that gives us the description of it being the fact that it is the term brethren being used properly, because in God's eyes, all he sees when he looks at every single member of the body of Christ, looks at us either individually or looks at us collectively, all he keeps seeing is his Son in us. And we see the Apostle Paul many times using this term, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ in us. So in fact, let's go over to, you know, 2 Corinthians chapter number 13. And we're going to look at a few passages speaking about this idea of the Lord Jesus Christ in us. For example, we see here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 13, when we read here verse number 5, which says, "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates." And then in verse 6, "But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates." You know, we are not in that condition that he's describing. So the fact is, you know, since we are not reprobates, the only thing that could be described of us is what he says in the before that, when he says that Jesus Christ is in you. The Lord Jesus Christ dwells in every single member of the body of Christ. Let's go over to Romans chapter number 8, where we're going to see the Apostle Paul's again going to use this term to describe the fact of the Lord Jesus Christ being in us. And this is going to be one of those ones that people are going to use and say, you know, this is a conditional clause, and that's not what the Apostle Paul is saying here, because the context of what he's been talking about in Romans chapter 8 proves that it's not a conditional clause. Because in verse number 10, when it says, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." Now, in the preceding passages that have led up to this verse, you see how the Apostle Paul has talked about things of the fact that our body is dead in the eyes of God. You know, because in the flesh dwells no good thing. You see how the law and sin dwell in the flesh. So that whole idea, the body has to be dead, that's a fact. We know that Christ is in us because he's laid out in Romans chapter number 6, verses 3 through 6, the identification that we have with the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what he's actually saying in this passage is, you know, it's a fact because there's no way that the Lord Jesus Christ is not in us if we have truly put our trust in the gospel message that's been given to us for this dispensation. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, where again we'll see the Apostle Paul laying out this term about the Lord Jesus Christ being in us. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, we're going to read starting here in verse number 6, says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." So here we have the Apostle Paul talking about this issue of the glory of God that's says it's in the face of Jesus Christ. That's where the glory of God is. And then the Apostle Paul says, we have this treasure, that glory of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, in earthen vessels, walking around in our bodies. We have the glory of God. We have the Lord Jesus Christ in us. That's a true present reality for every single member of the body of Christ today. Let's go over to Galatians chapter number 1, where we'll see the Apostle Paul is going to be speaking again about this. And here he's going to use himself as an example here, as he's been talking about all the things that he had done. He lays out how he had done all these things against what God had been doing. And then he changes the issue, after, you know, speaking about what happened to him after his salvation. We're going to read here verses 15 and 16 of Galatians chapter number 1, when it says, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." And here you have the Apostle Paul talking about how his ministry, his going out and sharing the message of the grace of God, dealt with the fact of revealing his Son, revealing the Lord Jesus Christ in the Apostle Paul. And as we follow the pattern, when Paul says to follow me as I followed Christ, we follow that pattern. Paul talks about how his responsibility was to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. He talks about how it's God's will that all man would be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That the responsibility is that this message keeps going out, this message keeps being preached unto others, and as this message is going out, being preached unto others, the responsibility that we have as the members of the body of Christ is that we're showing the Lord Jesus Christ in us. And Paul explains exactly what that means. Let's go over to chapter number 2 now of Galatians, and we'll see where the Apostle Paul is going to describe this here in Galatians chapter number 2, verse 20, when it says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And so we see this issue of that it's the Lord Jesus Christ living in us and through us. That's the responsibility that we have as the members of the body of Christ to be displaying. And we display that as we apply the doctrine that's laid out, starting in Romans chapter number 1, ending with the end of the book of Philemon, and all of the doctrine that's contained in between those chapters gives us the information that we need that tells us how to live the life that God intends for us to live. And he describes things of how we're to not be conformed unto this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind, and how that renewing of the mind takes place when we're taking in the doctrine, applying it to our lives, letting it have a hold of us, letting it influence what it is that we do, and the end result of it is that we're going to be doing the things that are pleasing to God. We're going to be doing the things that are allowing the Lord Jesus Christ to live through us. He's in us. We need to allow him to live through us, because that's the responsibility that we have as the members of the body of Christ. The problem we have a lot of times is that we try to, instead of allowing the Lord Jesus Christ to live through us, we try to do things on our own. We try to do the good works. And when we try to do the good works, the only result of that, our righteousness can only be seen as filthy rags in the eyes of God, because our performance and our good is always going to be contrasted with the bad things that we would do if you're under a performance system. And the moment you do one bad thing, you're guilty of all the things that are contained in the law. That's the whole problem with a performance-based system. That's why the glorious thing about who we are as the members of the body of Christ is that we've been removed from a performance-based system. We've been placed in a system where our reliance is not on what we are doing. Our reliance is on what he already did on the cross. Our reliance is on the fact that he already accomplished these things. He already took care of the issue of sin. He already conquered death. We already have the victory, as is laid out in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. But we see this issue of, over and over again, Christ in us that Paul's speaking about. We can go over to Ephesians chapter number 3, where again we'll see the Apostle Paul use this term. And here we're in verse 17 of Ephesians chapter number 3. It says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. He dwells in us by faith. It's nothing that we've done other than putting our trust in exactly what he did for us. We can go over to Colossians chapter number 1. And as we're seeing this, we see how this is a theme that is running through all of Paul's epistles, describing how it is that he is in us. We go over to chapter 1 of the book of Colossians. We're going to read here verse number 27. It says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And when Paul uses that term mystery, talking about the mysteries that are inside of the mystery program, he always defines them immediately after he gives that context. And you see how he defines exactly what this mystery is when he says, which is Christ in you. And it's a mystery because when you look at what Israel's program was, it was never about the Lord Jesus Christ being in them. It was the Lord Jesus Christ being with them. That's why one of the names that's given of him, and you see in the beginning of the book of Matthew, he's called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. It was never for them to be the fact that he was going to be in them. It was the fact that he was going to be walking among them, being physically there, being physically on the throne, ruling over them. That's what their hope is. The mystery deals with the fact that he is in us, that a completely different program than what was given to them. Let's go over to 2 Thessalonians now. We're going to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. And we're going to see another passage. This one's going to be talking specifically about how he's glorified in us here. And it says, verse 10 of chapter 1, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. The reality is he is glorified in us. He has an inheritance in us. He is in us. That's why the proper term truly is brethren, to describe all of the members of the body of Christ. And when we see Paul over and over again describing the body of Christ in these family terms, it shows the care that we are supposed to have for one another. And that care, a lot of times is seen when we don't see a member of the body of Christ for a while. Then all of a sudden, they're back. And the joy that we have when we see them again. The perfect picture of that is in the book of 2 Corinthians, you see how the Apostle Paul, when Titus wasn't with him, and he was away from Titus for a long period of time, and how you see almost this depression that was coming over the Apostle Paul because of the fact that Titus wasn't there. And then all of a sudden, halfway through the epistle, Titus appears, and you see the joy that comes about in Paul's writing because of the fact that Titus is there again. And that's really the relationship that we should have with the members of the body of Christ, is that it should be a joy when we see each other. Now, we'll pick up looking at verse number 1 in our next study here. And as we close, I always like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have information about how to join our Sunday service, either live through Facebook Live or through YouTube Live, which has been up and running for a couple of months now. We have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option. We have, a number of, audio files of past lessons that you can listen to. A whole bunch of information to really help your study of God's Word. And as always, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. If you have any questions or comments about anything on our website, anything you hear in one of our live studies, or anything on one of these broadcasts, let us know, and we will be happy to answer any questions that you might have. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.